Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know that many years ago, there was a preacher who said to me this thing about if it doesn't work, don't waste time on it. Okay? And it's something that is, because I heard some really weird news the other day. And it's so important to understand Christianity is not a virtual Christianity. Okay? It's not just like if it does not work, don't spend time on it. Doesn't matter how much you can say the scripture say this better than the other, it's supposed to work. And also, if it only works in church, it doesn't work. Do you understand? It has to work outside church. If it only works Sunday, then it doesn't work. Okay? Because the gospel was never meant to be in the church. It was supposed to be in the world. Remember when they asked Jesus, how should we pray? And he said, your will be done on earth, not in church, on earth as it is in heaven. And something that is so important that in Christianity is that I see there is a huge lack of, because we as a church, instead of going into the world, we have withdrawn from the world. Okay? And that's why, like, I used to hear so many other evil is running rampant in the society and so on and so forth. But that's not because the devil is strong. Do you understand? It's because the church has withdrawn, and therefore there is a vacuum, and a vacuum will always be filled out. Okay? Because we as a church, we have hit ourselves in the church, and now there's a vacuum. So it's not because of, so when we have all these ungodly laws that is made, it's not because the devil suddenly have become powerful, okay? It's because the church has withdrawn. And I heard a story that when the revival in UK, when John Wesley started out and he brought a revival here to Britain, and the German priesthood, they said at that time that we do not want a British revival, we want a German revival. Okay? And the thing is that when you reject what God does, something else comes. And boy, did we get a worldly revival. If you study the Nazis in Germany, it's actually like an anti-revival. Okay? And so in Mark chapter 16, and this is after the resurrection, and verse 12, it says here, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness at heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. Okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And preach the gospel. And if you want to know what the gospel is, it's Acts 10:38, that how God anointed Jesus Christ to preach the good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, and the rest, Luke 4:18. But 10:38 is how God anointed Jesus and destroyed the works of the devil. Okay? We are not called to preach the word. We are called to preach the gospel. Do you know? There is a difference, but churches, they have seminars about all sorts of things, how to be have a good marriage, how to be a good man, how to be a good woman, how to be a good child, you name it. This has never been the purpose of church. You cannot be taught to be a good man. Do you understand? It because if you can, because what a lot of it relies upon your self-discipline. And our self-discipline is of the flesh. Now, the way you transform is that you see Jesus. And that's what the gospel is about. I heard many sermons about, and then they say it's the word. Yes, it is the Bible. Yes, it is in, but I'm called to preach the gospel. Amen. You know, the gospel is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the gospel. And because we as a church, as a whole, we become a subculture. So we have so many things that we have brought into the church, but we think now, because it's been happening so many times, that we think it's normal. For example, most people who read the book of Revelation, they think it's revelations about the end time. But it's not. It's a revelation, singular, about Jesus. No, we say this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a revelation about Antichrist and who is this, that, and the other, who is before the horsemen and so on. These are secondary things that we don't need to concern yourself about. What you and I, we need to concern ourselves about is the revelation of Jesus that shows he is the King of Kings.
Amen.
Amen. This is what it is about. All we are called to do is preach the gospel. Not in church, but outside of church. So as I said, if it only works in church, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is when we're living in small communities and we don't have any connection with the world outside of ourselves, and it only works within ourselves, we can actually end up having value systems that we think is real, but it's not real. You know, we are not called to be a blessing to one another alone. We are called to be a blessing to the world. We are, what are we supposed to be? The light of the world. Not light of the church, light of the world. And this is why I say to people that if people outside of church cannot see the transformation, you most likely nothing had happened. If you were weird before you became a Christian and you were weird after you were a Christian, nothing had happened. But now many times in church, you can get away with being weird, and we call it the Holy Spirit. Okay? Most of the things that people do in church, they call the Holy Spirit. If they did it at their job, they will get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Can you imagine? Oh, I got a dream. Oh, you say, well, your boss wife, oh, the Holy Spirit is upon me now. Oh, I have to speak now. You know, it's, you know, I heard anything stupid, and because of, it's nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not make you weird. Amen. The Holy Spirit makes you Christ-like. Can you imagine Jesus did all these crazy things? You know, but all the kids will say, weirdo, was crazy again. You know, like, you know, they say the kids, children came to him.
Yes.
Amen. Can you imagine Jesus? Can you imagine what the Holy Spirit has been blamed for doing in church? You did it at your workplace. You will be at the job center the next day. Oh, why did you get fired? Oh, the Holy Spirit came upon me. You know, you would say, oh, the Holy Spirit said, I shouldn't come to work today. So your boss would say, oh, yeah. And I say, don't come tomorrow. Okay. No, it has to be able to work outside of church. You know, but one of the things that, so when we're living in a close community, one of the things that is so easy to lose is self-awareness. Okay? And like when I was a boy, there was a time when you could play football on the streets because there was not a lot of traffic at the time. I actually remember when you were only allowed to drive every second day. Because of the oil crisis, okay? Anyway, and so when we, as small kids, we played football on the streets, we were not ourselves, we were some football idol, we idolized or so on, you know, so we, whatever it may be, and in our little world, we were that player, okay? In our little world, but from anyone who looked at us from the outside, we were just a bunch of kids playing football. Okay, but in our little world, we were that superstar, we were that football player, we were whatever it may be. And I sometimes see the same in church. That people sometimes, you know, I had a youth leader in Denmark. My first youth leader was a young woman. And I'm telling you, all she preached about was how her husband was going to be. So every youth meeting I've been to is about how her husband was supposed to be. He was supposed to be this. And after a while, I got so fed up with it. So I said to her, you're never going to get married. Because I said to her, if that man exists that you are describing, he would definitely not marry you. I said, what? And what I was trying to say to her, there was no self-awareness. Okay? There was no self-awareness. And it is so important also with church that, you know, that I see preachers make stupid decisions. And then we say, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it's stupid. But because you get away with it, it's because you lost self-awareness. I just heard of a preacher here the other day, but he now he's going out with a woman who's younger than his own children. I mean, you know, but forget about spirituality. It's just crazy. Is there not someone who can wake you up and say, hello? You know, it's, you know, like I see, you know, like I was very naive when I was young. I thought people got married because they loved one another. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I found out, when later on in life, people get married for all sorts of crazy things, mm-hmm. visa, immigration, all sorts of whatever it may be. Okay, money, so on. And it's just and many of times people ending up in these situations is because there is no self-awareness. And I believe we as a church also that we need to understand that the way we protect ourselves is that if it doesn't work outside of church, it does not work at all. Like I told you about the story about a preacher. He had a woman from England, and I was listening to the sermon. And when this woman in the sermon, she said, oh, God had given me the healing gift. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I called the pastor on Monday, because pastors were always off on Monday. So I called him. So I asked him how many got healed. And he was like, why do you ask that? So I said, you know, because this woman said she had the healing gift. So I said, did she pray for someone? Did she pray for someone? And he said, yep, but no one got healed. So I said to him, so didn't you stand up and say in public, you do not have a healing gift? And it was like, what are you for? Why should I do that? And it's the only place that you can get away with saying you have something that you don't have and still get away with it. You remember how 4 years ago, how many preachers, especially where God had told them who was going to be the president in America, yeah. And it didn't happen. Suddenly, they all crawled back into their holes. There has to be accountability. It has to be able to work outside. Salvation is not a membership. Salvation is a transformation. Okay? And but if you just do it in your own little community, you know, like I listened to a preacher, and then he said, oh yeah, I went to Israel and I went into this secret military base. Oh, come on, give me a break. You're a preacher, why would they let you into a secret military base? But in church, so, wow, amazing. And then another time say, oh yeah, I have connections in the CIA. If you have connections with CIA, you wouldn't tell us publicly from the platform. You know, it'll be the same. I said to you, I'm a secret agent. You know, now it's not secret anymore. You know, but it's in church we fall for these things. I was, when I became a Christian, Gorbachev, you know, Gorbachev, remember Mikhail Gorbachev? He had a birthmark on his forehead. He was the Antichrist. Because he had a birthmark. And you know what? I have been through them all. Obama, you know, every American president has been the Antichrist. Martin Luther, he thought he was the Pope who was the Antichrist. And no one knows who the Antichrist is. And it's not important as long as you know who Christ is. So who cares about who Antichrist is? As long as I know who Christ is.
Yes.
That's all that matters. Okay? So he said, no, and he said, Go ye into all the world, all the world. Amen. Not to, you know, but I remember Benny Hinn, he was in Singapore. Benny Hinn, he's an evangelist. And he, you know what an evangelist do? He is supposed to reach the non-believers. But the problem was, when Benny Hinn came, the non-believers couldn't get in because all the believers was there. You know, I remember remember Reinhard Bonnke, you know, he was a missionary in Africa, and you see these videos that were huge meetings in Africa and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people getting saved. And when he comes to Europe, I mean, people say, why don't anyone get saved in Europe? Because it's only Christians who are in his meetings. Okay? We are called to be Jesus to the world. So Jesus says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, as I said, preach the gospel, not moral values, not do's and don'ts, because that won't get you saved. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I don't lie. Wow. That's just good behavior. It's nothing to do with being a Christian. Or whatever moral values you have, and I'm telling you, cultural and moral values is different from country to country. So one thing can be a sin in one country, so according to culture, and it's acceptable in another culture. No, it's the gospel we are here to preach. The good news that the sinner don't need to be a sinner anymore. That the poor don't need to be poor anymore. The sick don't need to be sick anymore. The broken don't need to be broken anymore. That's because there is a Jesus, the Son of God, who died for your sin and rose for your righteousness' sake. You know that the only instruction that the early church gave when the Gentiles started getting saved, and then again, shall we live like Jews or shall we live like this and whatever, and the only thing the early church council gave them instruction was, no sex before marriage and don't eat animals who died by themselves. And when you say, live well. That was all. That was not like, and now you need to go to a marriage course so we can teach you how to be a good husband. Marriage course, how to you could be a good wife. And so, you know, these are things that have been, that has nothing to do with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can you imagine? The kingdom, for example, the scripture, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So I said to you, next Sunday, I'm going to teach you how to be happy. You can't teach people to be happy. Say after me, I'm happy. I'm happy. You know, you can't, you know, but if you meet Jesus, you will be happy. Because when Jesus meets you, he's happy. Or is he happy or is he laughing? I don't know. But the thing is, you can't, in many of these things, it can be taught. But if you can't, it can only be introduced into your life through a relationship where you meet him. Amen. I cannot teach you to be happy. I cannot teach you to be this, that, and the other. I cannot teach you to be healed. But I can introduce you to the healer. Amen. There are people who have so much head knowledge in there, but they cannot manifest it because you can have the knowledge without the relationship. Amen? And it's not the knowledge that will save you, it's the relationship that will save you. I don't need to know every single healing scripture. It's good if you do, but it's not what will get you healed. Remember, if you're reading the Amplified Version, my people are destroyed for lack of vision. That is, in the Amplified, say, my people are destroyed for lack of revelation of Christ, of the anointing. Amen. So go ye into all the world. And now you have to understand that the world, do you know where the world starts? The moment you leave your home. I met someone last time we were in Denmark. Oh, he really. So I said, I think he was in benefits, never done anything. I said, oh, yeah. God, oh, you know, God showed me. You know, when people say God showed me, I'm already up in the weight. Okay? God showed me. I said, what? God showed me I should travel. So, travel? Where? Yeah, God showed me where I should travel. I said, you're traveling now. Because they always want to go something exotic, five-star hotel or something. No, the world starts the moment you leave your home. Amen. That's very, I don't understand why people need to travel all around the world, halfway around the world, to preach the gospel. And they don't preach the gospel to their neighbor. You know, it's more sophisticated. I'm more spiritual because I travel all the way around the world, but never mind my neighbor. No, it's the world. And you know what? Many of the missionaries that we have sent out in church time, they're not preach the gospel. They preach the culture. You know, it's ridiculous when you see African preachers in 40 degrees wearing a white shirt and tie and suit. And where did we get that from? From here. There's even some Christians, they wear woolly hats in Africa. Because we think it's spirit, you know. As I said, when I remember in the younger days, when you saw, we got this month of the video of the month from Word of Life and Spirit, you could always see when Ulf Ekman had new glasses. Because the whole congregation changed glasses. Because we thought there was some kind of spirituality in looking like that. No. We are not an organization. We are not a union. Can you imagine? You came to visit someone and everyone looked the same, dressed the same. What's going on here? Am I in an Amish family here? No. Can you imagine a family is like that? We all sit the same way, dress the same, behave the same. It would be scary. If I leave now, when can I be home? Okay, but this is what is anyway. So we are here to preach the gospel. That's the only thing, you know. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Once people have received the Holy Spirit and we have the Scripture, He will reveal the Scripture to me. Most of the things that I learned, I didn't learn it from reading a book. I learned it by reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. And I'm telling you, before I became a Christian, when I used to say to my fellow students, that's not even a joke. I don't know how I ended up having an old Danish Bible with Gothic letters on my bookshelf. But I used to say, this is not even a joke, it worked every single time. Every time I couldn't sleep, I just took that Bible down, read a few verses, and I was sleeping like a baby. Okay, I was just gone. Okay, but when I became a Christian, now suddenly the word just opened up. I remember first time I went to a meeting, I came back from that meeting and I said to Jesus, Jesus, please don't come back before I read the Bible. I isolated my, because the Holy Spirit just revealed the word. Amen. So it's the gospel we are called to preach. We are not here to tell people you're going to hell and this, that, and the other. We're here to tell them you can go to heaven. We're not here to tell people what is wrong with them. If they're married, their wife can do that far better. Jerry. Amen. We are here to preach hope. You don't need to stay sick. Why? Jesus died for your sickness. You don't need to stay poor. Why? Because he became poor so that you could be rich. You don't need to stay broken. Why? Because he was broken so that you could be made whole. Amen. You don't need to stay a sinner. Why? Because he was made sin so that you could be made the righteousness of God. That's the gospel. Amen. When you hear, I hear sometimes some of these preachers, especially if you go into Leeds and there's some preacher, it's basically turn or burn. And they go home and think, oh, wow, I really preach the gospel. And then a few times I got up to them and say, it's not the gospel. I say, it's the word. Yeah, but you're not called to preach the word. And they don't have a clue what I'm saying. They can't differentiate it. Yeah, but it's in the Bible. Yeah, but there's many things that is in the Bible. Does that mean also that if you lie, you should be punished? You should be stoned. If your child is, oh, I say, I don't lie. You just did. Amen. The gospel. You have to understand all the law in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ. Amen. That's why if you notice when the Israelites were in the desert, did you notice there was no punishment? Because there was no law. Amen. There was no law. It only came later when we came to Mount Sinai. That's where it came. Okay. But that law, Jesus, but Jesus fulfilled the law. So now he's not. So when you and I, we stand in front of the judgment seat, it's not about you being lost. That's not about it. It is the judgment seat is basically just for you to be approved because you are saved by the blood of Christ. It's not a judgment seat about that, oh, in and out. Okay? So we are here to preach the gospel. We are here to preach the gospel. Not the word. Okay? There's no life in the word. It's in the gospel where there is power. The Bible says, in Romans, the gospel is the power of God. Amen. The gospel is the power of God. Not the teachings. The gospel is the power. If I can reveal Jesus to you, all the other things will take care of itself. I trust me, I try to teach people to be healed. It doesn't work. Most of these people who I've seen going to these marriage courses, they're ending up getting divorced instead of getting blessed. Why? Because now I think it's all head knowledge. No, it is revelation. Okay? So when it's verse 16, no, preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. So you got some chickens at home, don't you? You don't have any chickens anymore. He ate them. Every creature. The man who introduced me to the gifts of knowledge, word of knowledge, sorry. He was a farmer, and he started out praying for his cows that were sick. Because it's a creature. Amen. So you can try and preach to your dog. Exercise authority. How much authority? Sit! Every creature. Someone asked me, are dogs coming in heaven? I don't know. Anyway, so to every creature, okay, to every creature, that means both Gentiles and Jews. I'm telling you, the least evangelized group of people today are the Jewish community. They need to hear the gospel too. Do you understand? You know, you see, all the people in the Bible, they were all Jews. And they got saved. But we're thinking sometimes, oh, the Jews, and we fall in love with their customs. No, the customs, that's exactly, they had the customs, but they didn't have the faith. Okay? The customs in itself is not important if you do not have the faith. It's like, first time I went to watch Leeds United, I was really surprised. I didn't realize you could get a Leeds United shirt that was extra, extra large. But the guy behind me proved it. And it was on him like slim fit. Okay. And he thought he was a Leeds United player. Okay. He could, at best, he could have been the ball. Okay. No. It's so funny when you go to a football game, when you see all these experts. Can you imagine? That must be the worst job in the world. Your workplace, you're working in front of like for example in Wembley, we were 81,000 people. You're working in front of 81,000 experts who knows exactly how you should do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And they all look like someone who couldn't run for 10 yards. Okay. Anyway, he will believe it. No, so, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach to every creature. 16, he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Now notice, believe it, that's trust. Baptism, that's action. And so here you have the principle of faith. It's not just enough to say, I trust, I believe, I believe, I believe. Most people who say, I believe, they don't believe. We just want to be in that virtual reality because if you believed, you would act. Amen. You know, no, I believe. I met people say, oh, I believe God sent me to India. No, I believe God wants me to go to India. So what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I believe it. Yeah, yeah, that's good, good, good. What are you doing in Yorkshire then? You know, because it's so easy to say, I believe. Oh, I believe God showed me this. Oh, that's good. So why are you still saying, why are you not doing it then? Oh, God told me to write a book. I'm telling you, if I had a penny for every Christian who said that God told them to write a book, I'm telling you, I would be a billionaire. Oh, God told me to write a book. Yeah, so what? Why are you not writing then? Yeah, but God told me. Oh, God told me, I'm going to do this. Yeah, that's good. So why are you not doing anything? Faith is an act. What I do not do, I do not believe. Amen. I believe it. So then do it. No, I believe it. Do it. No, if you don't do it, you don't believe it. Amen. And it's so important we understand this thing, but in our culture, because we've been so marinated in unbelief, that we think unbelief is faith. Okay? But really, when we say, I believe, what do you believe? I believe this, God showed me this, and God showed me that, and so on. Do you know what? Most of the people I meet, and this is where how perverted it all become, if people say things like, they actually believe that they are spiritual. I believe this every single day, 4 or 5 times a day, whatever, okay? But really, when I listen to it, and if it was true, which I don't think it is, if God, because I don't think God speaks like that, but it sounds more like God don't trust you. Can you imagine God had to tell you the same thing 5 times a day? It sounds more like he doesn't trust you. He don't need to tell you what is already in the book. Oh, God spoke to me. Oh, what did he say? Kurt, I love you. Oh, I could read John 3:16. You know, what's the point having the Bible if God will say it to me? Oh, yeah, but that's the audio version. No, but because we have seen it, I've seen people, it always amuses me when people, the response people have, or someone comes out, he's a prophet, or oh, the Lord says, I love you. And everyone's, wow, this is deep. No, it's not deep, it's John 3:16. I don't need to prophesy that God wants to bless you. You can read that in the Bible. I don't need to prophesy, God will save you. No. But it's because of people think this is spirituality, but it's just virtual imaginations. Okay? And the problem is that when you start moving into these things, you're ending up open up for things that you're not supposed to open yourself up to. Okay? You know, the devil is not coming to tell you, hello, I'm the devil, and what I'm going to tell you now is not true. So listen carefully. And that's not how it works. The false prophets, is because of, they actually believe it's God. Okay, but what is a false prophet? It's someone who thinks they represent God, who is not God, but they believe he's God. But it's not, because if you know how it works, is he speaks through his word. Remember John, in John, I spoke about the last 2 Sundays ago, that believe as the scripture says, not as how your imagination, you know, someone, I remember someone came to me, Pastor Kurt, do you know, shall I marry that person? I said, I don't know. It's you who's going to live with her, not me. Or do you want me to say, the Lord showed me you are in love? Yeah. Oh, wow. Did you get a word of knowledge? Did you, I said, did you not know? No. wake up to, you know, we need to get out of that fantasy, because there is no power in it. Okay? There is no power in it. There's only power in the gospel. And as I said, that I believe in healing. I've seen it happen so many times. I believe in all the wonderful things that the Bible promised, but I don't believe in many of the practices that we imported into the church. Because that's not Christianity. Okay? It's not Christian. Oh, someone, McDonald's, Happy Meal or Big Mac Meal? Coke or Fanta? If you can't decide, when you need far more help than okay? It's like, you know, there's so many teachings that has become wrong. For example, the generational curses thing that came in the 90s. Oh, generational curses and so on. No. Yeah, but I can find it in the Bible. Yes, you can. But you have to understand, you are redeemed from the curse. The moment you got saved, you are redeemed from the curse. Yeah, but someone teaching the generational curses from the Bible, and I find it. Yeah, that's, you can find many things in the Bible. In Denmark, we have these small pieces of paper in a bowl with scriptures in. And when people, especially old people, God, speak to me, and take a scripture. I've been reading Matthew chapter this, and it says, when you're reading in the Bible, oh, God, speak to me. Judas went and hung himself. Oh, God, another word. I mean, the next verse is, you get, go and do likewise. But that's not how it works. But many people think this is, you know, I even heard something like, oh, when the Holy Spirit come over me, it's karate chops. It's crazy. You know what? Many of these things is because of insecurity and trying to make spirituality to be something in the natural. But spirituality is not, is that you in your heart trust God and you're acting accordingly. That's spirituality. Oh, so, you know, but, I saw this thing. When we started interpreting, I saw it in the Danish church. They had a workshop they called dream interpretation. It's like a new age thing. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw that symbol. Yeah. Now you're interpreting the symbol according to your values. Okay. So, for example, if you show a dragon to a Western European, it's something bad. If you show a dragon to a Chinese, it's something good. So you better get to the right person to get whatever you want. But the thing is, we are not supposed to do that. We are supposed to preach the gospel. You know, every generation, they have their own interpretation of the book of Revelation. Why? Because they interpret according to their own value system, their own culture, their own. This better than you are. That's why you have to be careful when you start reading about, oh, that color means this and that color means that. Because they can mean different things in different cultures. You know, in the West, number 13. Friday the 13th. Ooh. You know, do you know how it came along, this Friday the 13th? It was not a horror movie from Hollywood. It was from, what is it called? Freemasons? No, 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 sorry, not the Freemasons. Temple Knights. You know, the guys with the white and with the red cross on. And one of the things was that they were very wealthy. First, for you to be a knight, you had to be an aristocrat. So usually it was the second son who became a knight, or so on. So like I told you, they were the one who invented the travel check. Remember the travel check? Many years ago. We don't even know what a check is anymore, but you know, remember the travel check where you could buy it? So when people, because in the Catholic Church, there was a lot of superstition in the Catholic Church. So they believe they had to go to Jerusalem on pilgrimage. So it's like, Jesus is there. You know, when I hear Christians say, hey, but Jesus, oh, I can feel Jesus. No, you can't. Oh, he's here. Oh, no, you know, it's your imagination. Okay. But anyway, So of course, if at that time you can't just take Ryanair to Israel, so it's like a lifelong journey basically to go there. Okay, and you of course all the roads are not safe. So what you could do, you could sell up all your goods, and then you could some of the money you had, you could go to the local temple knight, and he will give you a note, and then. That's when you arrive in Jerusalem, you could hand that note into the temple knight in Jerusalem, and you will have your money. And but they became very, very rich, the temple knights. And the thing is that I think it was the king of France. He owed the temple knights a lot of money. So how do you get debt free? Now don't go and do that in the bank on Monday. What I'm telling you now, how do you get debt free? You kill him, the one you owe. So the French king got the temple master of the temple knights arrested and accused him of blasphemy. I mean, there's some kind of weirdo thing that it was on Friday the 13th, and then he said within a year you're going to die, which is. Some we don't know if he said that or whatever, but that's where Friday the 13th came from. I don't think in China they have any clue what Friday the 13th is. But in the West, we're so superstitious. When Matthew went to America in autumn, he said, I booked on Friday the 13th because the tickets were so cheap. It's stupid, isn't it? But that mindset are you exposed to when you start listening to people who say, oh, this thing means this and this thing means that and this thing means that, because it's not Bible. It gets you focused on, you become superstitious. Well, I have to do this, I have to do that. No, you don't have to do anything because Jesus has already done it. And many of the things that we claim to be spiritual is very often just experience a Christian way of being superstitious. Or when you feel you have to do things for something good to happen in that way, I always do this, I always do. But be careful, because now you're on borderline to be superstitious and not in faith. Okay? Always trust God is with you, always. Amen. And so like, oh, when I pray, I have to pray like this, I have to pray like that. No, you don't have to pray like this, man, and the other. You just pray. I remember that I read this leaflet when I got saved. Oh, when you get saved, when you read the Bible, you should be kneeling. Oh, I want to do everything right. No one told me any of these things that I tell you now. So I was kneeling in front of my Bible. And suddenly I couldn't feel my legs anymore. So I was like, oh, I died to the flesh. But you know what? You do not get more revelation because you're kneeling in front of a Bible. Read it and do it when you get revelation. And you can do that lying down, standing up, whatever you want to do. But don't think your body posture makes a difference. I remember when we were in Nelson's, remember when people, sometimes when people fall in the spirit, and when we have someone who fell in the spirit, And when she was on the floor, when she took the blanket, really got, oh, this is really cozy. But she had a thought that it's more spiritual if I fall. No, you don't need to fall, or you don't need to do anything, because it's God who does it. I don't need to help God. Amen. Can you imagine if God needed our help? We'll all be in trouble. Can you imagine? God can't do it without you. Oh, we got a, when we really got a problem. God can do it without you. He's not dependent on us, but he don't want to. He wants to work with us. Amen. Okay, I was finished soon. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. 17. And these signs, this is actually what I wanted to talk about, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Notice, signs shall follow you. These signs shall follow. Okay? Don't want for signs. Signs shall follow you. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my, and now it lists up what sign we're talking about. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. You know what? This is not for the church. This is for you and I outside of church. Amen. The first time I saw, I still remember it, the first time that I think I've been saved for a day, and I had a friend, a study friend, and she had been in the Royal Danish Ballet since she was, I think you get 4 or 5 years old. And but the problem with these things, it's not, you know, elite sport is not healthy for your body. Okay, and so she was so injured in her back that even when she was lying down, she was in pain. And I just got saved. I said, oh, Jesus, he will heal. And she said, can you pray for me? I said, I'll put on, as I said to you, this was the longest prayer I ever prayed. Because in my head, I was thinking of what shall I tell her when she's not healed, you know. But God is good. He stands by his word. And she was completely healed. You know, you and I, all of us, we have that power. It's not a selected few. You say, these signs shall follow them. What shall we believe? We don't believe in healing. We believe in Jesus. Amen. And he heals. Yes. Don't stand in faith for healing. Don't stand in faith for finance. Don't stand in faith for anything. Believe in him. Okay? Believe in him. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, Army, next time you want to go home early, just put your sausages on everyone. See you on Monday. I'm off. Amen. Oh, there's so many pages. Just lay your hands on me. I'm off now. Okay. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the words. The word. The word. Not yet. You know, if you see in the book of Acts, where it's a 2 or 3 times you see about prophecy. There is one time you see about a dream. God speaks through his word. And with the times where there is prophecy and the times when there is dreams, okay, God has already showed it. When Agabus prophesies to Paul, Paul said, God has already shown me. God is not going, you know, as I said, in the New Testament, you got the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit. And why should God speak to me about you if he hadn't spoken to you first? Amen. If that was the case, how can we say that you have an individual, you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If Jesus goes around telling everyone else about you, where is the relationship now? Okay. If someone speaks something to you and say God showed me, first and foremost, the first question you need to ask yourself: who are you to me? Okay. Do you take responsibility for that for me? Okay, if not, reject it. Okay? Secondly, if God has not said it to you already, because prophecy is confirmation, not directional. Okay? God has, you know, for example, so my finger, can you remember when Peter had the vision where the animals, unclean animals comes down? You have to understand that was confirmation. Because what did we just read here? Go into all the world and preach to all creatures. At that time, the first church only preached to Jews. So it was not directional, it was confirmation for something that God has already said. And it's so, because the other thing becomes new age and superstition. Oh, Holy Spirit, where should I go now? Where should I go now? Ooh, wider left, wider left. Ooh. You might as well toss a coin then. Okay? Shall I buy this or shall I buy that? Take responsibility. Okay? We shall take up. So we are called to be the light of the world. So the thing is, you are not blessed because you get a job. Your job is blessed because they got you. Amen. So you, next time you negotiate your salary, I was in church on Sunday and I was told, I'm not blessed because I have this job. You are blessed because you got me. And I would like to see that reflected in my paycheck. In Jesus' name. So, do I need to pray when you get courage? Amen. It is true. They are blessed. You are the light of the world. Have you noticed that sometimes when you come in, when people they feel, oh, if they start swearing, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you not said anything. Sorry. Because you are the light that is upon you. Shines, but you need to be aware of it. Okay, now don't go around and say, that's not how, just be yourself. Amen. Actually, no, don't be yourself, be someone else, be like Jesus. It's like when you go to someone, when you go to someone, someone says, just feel at home. Okay, no, you don't want them. If you start feeling at home, they regret they said it. I go to Ivy's house, just feel at home when I go up to the bedroom, throwing myself on the bed. she said, you'll be fuming. I was crying. You said I should feel at home. Amen.
Yep.
Hallelujah. But you know, I believe in spiritual things, but I'm telling you, the power lies not in your spiritual exercises. It lies in that you trust the gospel. If you can just get people to see that Jesus loves them, they can get healed. You know, why do people get healed? Because they realize Jesus loves them. Why do people prosper? Because we realize Jesus loves them. Why do people get restored? Because we believe Jesus loves them. Why do people get delivered? Because we realize Jesus loves them. It's not because we've been taught. And what does the Bible say about this? You know what? Many people say, and now I say this in a strong way just to provoke you, but it doesn't matter what the Bible say. It what matters is what does the gospel say? Because there's so many things, if you take it out of context in the Bible, out of context with Jesus, when you go wrong. You know, so many wrong doctrines have come out of the Bible because we're taking it out of context of Jesus. You know, the Ku Klux Klan in America was just, they believe they're Christians. That's why they're burning crosses. Slavery was justified because they said that was the mark of Abel, Cain. Okay? And all sorts of stupid doctrines because it's taken out of the context of the gospel. But now, in the day and age we are living in now, we have stupid doctrines like generational curses that people start believing in, and all sorts of things. No. The power of God is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. So which means all I need to do to release the power of God is just to make people see that Jesus loves them. That releases the power. The moment someone, how did you get saved? How did I get saved? The moment I realized Jesus loves me. I wasn't taught 5 steps how to get saved. So look solemn, good. Cry a little bit because that shows you think you are a sinner. Show remorse. And now say, no, the moment you see Jesus loves you, that's the power. You can go through all the rhetoric and nothing happens, but the moment you see Jesus loves you, everything will be sorted out. Amen. The gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. You are faithful. Thank you. You are faithful, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you, by your Holy Spirit, will grant courage to each one of us here. Take the word and make it grow in our hearts. In Jesus' name.